Give me a moment.
You might have to go further.
No.
We missed you, Tom.
If we can, so we are about to start the Monday, June 26th, 2023, and the HIV Community Planning Council full meeting. We are going to do a roll call.
All right, show your hands. Seth Cadavid is excused. And Chitty?
Here.
Billy Cooper? Zachary Davenport?
Here.
Pedro Peters is excused. Delia Flores is excused. Matt Hellinger? David Gonzalez?
Here.
Paul Hartman is excused. Ron Hernandez?
Here.
Lee Jewell?
Here.
Duba Colombo is excused. Chris Kent? All right, present. Thomas Noble, here, not here. Nali, TJ Miyagi, Alan Lindsay, Derek Mann,
present.
Irma Parada, Gwen Smith, JP Soto,
here.
Will Aaron, Seth,
here.
Richard Sullivan, Laura Thomas,
here.
Emma Odeska,
here.
We have forum, Martin Martin, there. Bill Hirsch, AIDS Legal Referral Panel and the HIV AIDS Provider Network. John C. with HIV Health Services.
Maria Lafayette with HIV Health Services.
That's Mary.
We are going to do an approved we have it in some any questions that we add to or add on? Now, we have that we are going to approve the recommendation. We are going to review and approve May 20, to draft minutes. Any objections?
I vote Bill Hirsch wanting to get votes of brief update on the city budget. So the mayor released her proposed budget on June 1st. It has taken a while for folks to sort out what is in the budget and what is not in the budget. There is a lot of really bad stuff in the budget. While we had hoped that there would not be cuts to essential services, the mayor has taken it as it for homelessness services, for transitional age youth, homeless families, food security, child care, and tenant outreach and education. The amount of budget shortfall is greater than the amount of money that usually the board has to work with in the ad back process. So this promises to be an especially messy year. Today was the final day of public comment before the board of supervisors. There will now be final negotiations between the mayor and the board of supervisors on Wednesday night, and we will be working to make sure that we minimize as much harm as possible, because these cuts are really draconian.
Thank you, Bill, for your advocacy. Very important. Anyone else?
Next, Chile cohort. And Chile, mind you, all folks, is originally funded by the epidemics and now funded through the general fund and provides a training and support program as well as mentor programs. Hopefully, to work in the HIV care prevention, STD. The new board is starting in August, and as all of you heard, we come every single council member here, so we can overall have a lot of experience. We're interested in helping someone who would probably like you 20 years ago, then please see me as well as I am.
Hi everyone, just a reminder to fill out the survey for today. We'll be evaluating the strategic background of the last session. And there will also be a chance to ask if you want to consider that.
Thank you. All right, general update. We are going to hear updates from HHS, Bill Gunn.
Okay, we've done that in our release. We're not aligning with the deep budget. This is going to be a valid one to see how it's going to be used. In terms of reactor reporting, we submitted an online part of the allocation report. Shout out to John, he does a lot of that reporting work for us. In terms of just for folks who know, we do have yet another new RDA program officer, and their name is Jake Warner. We're going to meet them tomorrow. In terms of site visits, which are kind of monitoring that happen from the federal government, we're having our EHG site visit for Caroline's coming up July 25th through to the 27th. This will be a little happy and we'll be invited to that report to participate. In the folks who are having the process. Services, assessment, rather reputation to do that. He has a number of staff up, a couple of key department interviews, also a couple of the city departments. Works to show you all in us. We also Maria is here. I mean, all of the work that we do, I guess, you know, about standards of care that we did to contact the liberals. So, whether it's in the OU, another part of the Department of Health or contract community agency, there's a series of profit and outcome effects they have. And so, we go through and revise them in house to about 240 of the money creation kind of service categories as well as 40 agents in the 10 that we use as a lot. So we're kind of going through that. The next is just last month, I've been in the chat this afternoon. What to share is the intent that we learned a whole lot in terms of just an idea. So part of what we use health services is for considering to care people by our DGH. And so we build a lot of questions about invoicing, budgeting, and different factors. So that's a big thing how we use stuff. Finally, we are looking at increasing the amount of the monthly housing subsidies, even shadow subsidies. We haven't increased them, and we're assuming from the agencies as well as partnership with the folks in need and thoughts of having community development that monitor the HAPO funds that just is and did not for folks in that category. We do, of course, need to make sure that this all into the program and the agency this analysis and they have to know that we're making this. Just because I know we want to, we had some conversations about ARIES converting to HAE Care Connect, the State Office of Aids program that manages the client level database that we use both for QI activities as well as contact reporting. Yours truly is not serving this as monitoring hospital for a reason, sort of one of those committees that's what they're calling change agents. Also, this is a kind of a shout out for those of you who know Nina, who's a tremendous ally. She's kind of like the person extraordinaire in our unit for the LGBT organization. She does kind of stuff, brings lots of young people, and everything's good. In terms of positions, we actually put a 2593 member. Just a temporary, we now retired about 5 years ago. We're finally filling that position. So, hopefully, the next couple months, we'll be able to share that with you all. We also, within our unit, now are also managing the healthcare for the homeless grant. Our service is actually similar to the one. That used to do that before taking fully over the HIV health services. So, also hoping for that position, hopefully, soon we'll have to do that. And then finally, our coordinator too. We also got closed. They got a job class. That's for set closed. This is a forum interview. He was selected on temporary basis, so there are all details of that. So it's been a role active role to temporary position forward. And then we're in the process of waiting for the year of medicine position, so fingers crossed there's no one. And then we the world will hope we receive the everything should be to that our voucher program. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any questions? Yes.
Are there any positions that you're still waiting to know that have to sit here?
This is all of them.
Yes.
When we're dealing with probably, you know, we need to be doing the 125 for the people and then start doing the step out and then we can cut. And so, as it comes to the sort of general requirement, just back, we may not agree with the meetings. It's exciting to these people to hire someone. The EHG position is the first new position we've had over a decade. Yes, Pat, do you want to help?
There will eventually be one more opening back up, but it's not open yet. The Helper Grand Prix Pro?
Helper Grand Prix?
Yeah. Probably at least a year away.
This is the team of people who move up for our success for the EHG to see where we'll be following. But currently, we don't have. But yes, we can talk on this. Any other questions?
Thank you. So we are going to put some of us in town at the time for what in the number that I'm. So we're going to have visual.
Thank you. So the care report is going to be divided into two sessions. I'm going to talk about appropriations, and Bill Rea will talk about business community, the care that's going to happen. This last week, the one where we focus that they're coming. So as you may know, Congress passed fiscal responsibility act of 2023 that averted the economically devastating default on the nation's debt. This allows the appropriators to begin working on their appropriations. Republicans are seeking to prevent the cap to boost defense funding spending, and Democrats are strategizing to avoid the inclusion of the energy program cuts to a range of CPN programs. It's kind of the two tensions going on in Congress right now. The House and the Democrats and Republicans in the House. After they advanced their bills, the Senate appropriators announced their commitment to advancing Fed and Federal along a similar timeframe. And we will keep you updated as that those negotiations continue. And I hand it over to Bill Maria.
So last week I was able to accompany Bill with the CARE Coalition, and we had the business meeting in person, which hadn't happened, I think, for a couple of years. So we had representatives from all over the country that are part of this coalition, and basically bring up things that they've been working on and talking about their strategy for the next couple of years. So one of the things that was mentioned in the meeting is, you know, there definitely is a lot of people retiring, and I think that's happening here locally too. And so I'm looking at who is going to be taking this work on and making sure that they're trained, that they know all the history of all the work that they've done, basically. So it's happening across the board. There's a person that was 81 years old from Philadelphia that retired, been working there for years, obviously. And then the next day, we actually had a visit, so that was exciting for me because I hadn't moved to that part, you know, to see it. So I thought we actually had a couple of days with some of the committees for representatives from California. And we joined a group from West Virginia. And so that was exciting because obviously we wanted to reach across the board. And we know that, like we mentioned, it's a difficult year. And all of the aides were very nice, and we explained to them, you know, we gave them a packet of what the CARE Coalition is, and explained the importance of our advocate supporting HIV and the importance of all the programs, obviously, and how successful the Ryan White program has been. So everyone was really nice, but it also, the outcome explained to them that it's a difficult year and asking for more money. And so we did explain the numbers and how flat funding is essentially having a cut and how it's been like that for years now. But, you know, they, like I said, they got the kind of information that they wanted to pass it around to be more about it. But it was definitely a good learning experience, and I enjoyed seeing that perspective and also hearing, you know, personally from seeing how their for it is obviously still very important that people think that because people are living longer, that maybe it's not something that is should continue to be funded in the level that it was, but obviously the stigma, the equity issues that we're seeing are still very important and obviously should be in the forefront. Hopefully, I think we'll have bipartisan support so that we can at least be flat funded and not get an increase. We'll hear more, I'm sure.
Thanks, Maria. So we have pictures of the video from the what we're hearing is really from even kind of the powerful folks, like the Lucy Prophet, is our goal is to hold that funding out to do reduction. So, politics is strange and changing again. I think my concern is that will this will result in not increases in our independent funding, that will save that on it. So, I think we'll stop it here now and see what other questions.
It essentially means about, and I'm wondering if that answers how much would this year guys funding if it's slack a bit?
So, you know, what I think the cost of living. I have a cost of doing business in a couple of different ways. So, it hasn't done that in recent years. It also doesn't take into account that there are more people being served. It doesn't make pie right across the groups, depending on who has represented. On the other hand, there hasn't been a discussion that I'm aware of to add TGA, which would be difficult. Where the sad thing is by the card is if they don't plus up the budget, then they talk about doing it in two phases. So we were in phase one, which are kind of large from us, but a lot of the TGAs, the smaller VMAs, into phase two, you kind of the original kind of offer when it was kind of going out of this stuff. So, so I said, yes, and maybe we're both either here or there's a lot of the chain.
I am here. Sorry to be late. Are we doing chat updates?
Yes.
You
can.
Okay. No worry. Just March happened. Jeff did that part. That we were happy that we were there. Actually, conducting a company training right now this week in the basement of this building. So that's where I'm coming from. So it's a good group of folks. We've actually had an extra training this year, another set of people in it. And we just did 27 about a month ago. We have another 27 in a month time. So a lot of additional burden, but at the same time, there's a lot of transition happening with a new contract starting, agencies are stepping into that, and we're really leaning into the concepts of making sure that SDI goes in Hep C or integrated during HIV efforts. So proud to be part of that. Maisha Underwood, she accepted a I'm never quite sure if that deputy position is in her branch, so it's really exciting that she's gotten that role, and I'm excited about that. We also have another deputy at a different level, who just started today, so we'll be leaving updates on that information at the next meeting. So it's been a long time coming to fill a lot of those positions. We are still have outstanding Tracy school chapter director position. So I think the idea was to hire that person, Tracy will vice packers, as we say in the DPH, giving the opportunity for the person that just started today to be able to hire that. So we can kind of put that coming a little bit of delay, but there's some rationale. I will stop there. I think there's any questions. Hearing none. Any other?
I was just going to go to the position, right, with the deputy director for the PhD, the population health division. So it's someone that oversees the only programs that they have to be some level.
Yeah, we have a constant efforts community-wide, and so division is to pull those three different programs together. So CHEP is one of those three, and the largest of the three, but the idea is cost of energy, plan, and all for the same person. And so.
Thank you, Tom. Maybe you examine research development is usually the one to represent the council. He is not in the meeting today.
So here are the PE updates from Trick Sullivan. They received updates on general health and out-of-custody access to care, on increasing community knowledge of diagnosis and how to reach those that are still working on it, on surveillance, and there are over 50 affordable data to care information of those on viral suppress and how to reengage those folks. I'll put on their NY and their non-virus prep. We'll keep an update on the Lyme team. That's free content with all services. On a mutation for within. And a set on culture detection and response. If you all call culture detection is for detection and identification of people with HIV who are not in care, monitor trends among HIV drug and identify third of the gap in the community testing. There'll be a presentation to the council on this in October. You can add time.
Usually set a good job, I do, so.
It's okay. Chris Ken and Samoki.
No. Oh, hi. Thank you. Y'all can hear me okay, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to point out a couple of things, and then I think Nikki from ADAP might have something to share. But the first thing is the Ending the Epidemic, or Syndemic, I should say, symposium. I don't know if folks were aware that was currently happening, but there were some meeting dates last week. And so there were some panels on that, and that was discussed in the this month's edition of the OA Voice. So there were some panels last week, and then the last couple of dates for the symposium are actually this week on Thursday and Friday. And on Thursday, there's a couple of panels, and then there's also some content on Friday. But the panels on Thursday, if anybody's interested, there's a panel on housing, and specifically on housing first and the continuum of housing needs. There's also a panel on prevention and care for young BIPOC men who have sex with men. There's also a panel on data to care, and then a panel on prevention and care for transgender people. And then, as I said, there's some content on Friday. So if you're interested in attending the last couple of days of the symposium, there is a link in the, there's a registration link in the OA Voice for this month. So check that out. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention was it looks like there's going to be a webinar on the 27th dealing with opioid settlements in California. And so if folks are interested in hearing about, looks like there's a little over $2 billion in the opioid settlement agreements for California across the next 18 years. If you're interested in hearing about that, there's going to be a webinar, and the link to register for that is in the OA Voice. Nikki, did you have anything to say about EDAP?
I just have a couple of little updates that are from the OA Voice. And it's just the strategies that I typically present on. So strategy A is to improve pre-exposure prophylaxis utilization. And with that program, we have currently 203 PrEP-app enrollment sites that covers 189 clinics that makes up that network. And a comprehensive list, if you would like to see the whole list of every provider, is on the CDPH website. And then strategy J, which is to increase the rates of insurance benefits coverage for people living with HIV or on PrEP. We have several different health insurance programs, and we have a total at the end of the month of 7,264 people enrolled in those across those three programs. And that's a little bit down from last month, but if you look from year to year, it's about a 68% increase from last year at this time. And that's all I have.
And then just one last thing I was going to mention is that opioid settlements webinar is actually tomorrow. And so it looks like it's at 11:30 a.m. And so if you're interested, check out the link in the OA Voice. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Any questions?
So I know that we can call that's great because the HIV test kits, but for the mail-in lab test, is that only offered to the HIV counties, or will that be expanded to all counties to be able to access the mail-in lab test?
I know it was a question about mail-in lab tests, but that was about it.
So the taking home has the free HIV home test for everyone, but for the mail-in lab test, is that only for the 18 counties, and will that be expanded to other counties to be able to have that program?
I'm sorry. I can't get the particulars of the question. Leroy, were you able to make it out?
Yeah, I think that the question was, and I'll repeat it, is that are the mail-in lab kits only for EHE counties?
Got it. I don't believe they are. Leroy or Nikki, do you know a better answer than that? I'm pretty sure they're open.
So the expansion for across California for the mail-in lab kits was to all jurisdictions, excluding, you know that San Francisco and Los Angeles actually have their own programs through DHSC Take Me Home. So that's the reason, well, that's how the program is a little bit different. And we expanded to every jurisdiction in California, and the eight EHE jurisdictions each have a separate type of testing program. Some of them have STI test kits available, and some of them have various combinations available. So I'll let you know that for the six jurisdictions that are funded directly through CDPHOA, that at least four of the jurisdictions are running a little bit low on STI kits, but we have oral HIV kits that are funded and are plenty and in place. But once again, San Francisco has its own BHOC Take Me Home program.
Okay, but I'm in Marin County, so I'm...
Oh, Yes, in Marin County, your program, you're covered by the California expansion, and your residents have access to oral HIV tests, not only for themselves but also for their drug using and HIV and sexual health partners. So,
not the HIV. I'm asking about the mailing lab test for syphilis, hepatitis C, and malaria.
Yeah, those tests are not part of the expansion of testing across California. We only included oral HIV tests for the expansion. That's the best that we can do now, but we have plans in the future to expand, but not at this time.
Okay, that's not available right now.
Not available, right, not available right now. But in Marin, I do know that your public health department is looking into a pilot for some type of online testing program.
Yeah, that we're paying for, but in terms of the ongoing sustainability.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Leroy. I'm glad you're on the call.
Thanks, Chris. Nice to see you.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Right. Moving on to CQI, quality assurance, John and Steve will present this annual update from agencies.
Just between the media and stick down, right? Be quickly again, Michael. Here at HIV Health Services for 10 years, 11 years.
This is my vibe.
This is my vibe. So, yeah, I know I'm driving here versus stuff, but you know, I haven't been voted to get John as an HIV Health Services. So, I'm presenting on my activities and outcomes for the 2022 year and compared to the 2 years back. It's a bit difficult for me to take questions. There'll be usually a lot of controlling games. There's something that definitely grabs you and asks if you interrupt that problem. And for Zoom questions that are live, how do you agree with that? So here's a rough outline of the presentation. We'll start with the general overview of CQI. And what we do, what we have there, I'll share some considerations and how we measure. Then I'll go through the data. So this is the text. There's a lot there. So I'll share all of it. Then there are parts that I will highlight, kind of generally point to the general direction of what stands out and what has been prioritized by you all in the past. And after that, we'll do some questions and some feedback. So, the purpose of continuous quality improvements. The goal is to inform the Planning Council of new and continuing quality activities, in addition to annual reporting on the upkeep performance indicators. Data is for HIV positive individuals receiving care through HHS funded programs for Ryan White and General Fund. The clients being reported on here have been testified to the PH by Jeff. Or they could have been tested outside of our system of care. HHS used to report out of San Diego, Marin, as well as San Francisco. We changed it a year back just in San Francisco to the data limitations. San Francisco is also the bulk of clients. Marin San Diego also report out with similar data in their annual reports. The goal is to inform the plan council members at that. So basically, it's reporting. Evaluation and information. So the purpose of the presentation is to analyze key HRSA medical indicators. These are retention. So in years past, we did retention and care ART description and viral suppression and viral screening. But the data that I've gone over this year for attention to care and for ART descriptions did not pass the eye test. And the thing is, we go back 12 years, and I used to rely on a single report to have volume of years of work in areas. But that report has since been basically decommissioned. So I'm hoping as the Care Connect that Bill spoke to earlier today comes and rolls out at the end of the year, I'll be able to report out of protection and the ART description. And next year, I was thinking about using Arlo text as a proxy for attention care, then if you came in for Arlo text within the year or consider retained, but I didn't really want to underwater for too much. So this report this year, I just borrowed the question. This data is reported back to our community provider quarterly for ease of use too, but we'll get back to that. Data is also reported to MRSA, NSA, via Part A, Part B, and Part C, also the EHD. The reason for the animated graphic here is so to show that CPY is ongoing. It never really ends. We start a project, we roll it out, we complete it, it becomes standard way of doing things, and we start another one. It's always going. Something my co-worker Beth is working on for years now has been integrating the medical record system used by SME PhD students at Commonwealth Voices. It is a screen for everyone. Integrating with ARIES. ARIES stands for the AIDS Regional Information and Evaluation System. It's how we report data out to the federal government and the state. It's also very helpful of all this data I'll be sharing shortly. These communities do not communicate well with each other. It's making it a lot easier, the less communication barriers, the better. And again, next year we are moving to a new system, each of them here. 2011 a lot of work in the past around CPY. Some of it is hampered by COVID, but as we see the data, it does look very good. The goals have been to improve viral suppression in all communities. We have focused on two specific data that this series of valid entities. The first one we started in 2020 with the viral suppression of Black American communities. The second, which we just started, focuses on persons experiencing homelessness and unstable housing. We'll see data on that shortly. Lastly, we've been conducting ongoing trainings on a variety of topics for our providers. This used to be done by Kevin Hedgefrock. Remember him? He has since retired, and Nina is now taking that over. We trained on collaboration and escalation. Yes.
Oh, that's a reaction.
Did it now? Oh,
great.
With me, yeah.
Did it now? Okay.
We only worked. As I mentioned before, we did use the new retention and ART description this year. It just didn't look right, and I thought it would be more confusing and not very helpful at all. So again, hopefully next year we try to care connect, we'll be able to share this data. But we are in the viral expression. So a little bit of overview of data and the analysis, all the data is from the ART database. Last couple of weeks and go back a couple of years. Data evaluation date range in January, December, so it's for the calendar year. And the presentation is designed to address CPY thresholds and not to compare models here. Here's our first data slide. Here's viral suppression by gender identity. Not much really today here. All three gender groups improved over the last 12 years. Cis women by 15%, transgender women by 14%, and cis men by 13%. We do not report out on transgender men. The number of people is just too low without risk sharing private health information. Next, we have viral suppression by housing premise. No surprise here that having stable housing leads to better health outcomes. As mentioned previously, persons with unstable housing have a bogus RCPY efforts. You can see here that there has been substantial improvement over the 12 years, improvement of 13%. There is still a lot of to go over the name of the Samaritan, but his traffic in the right direction.
John, can you pull the...
I don't know how to do that, boss.
If you just, drag it, you drag it down, that way.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
I promise. It really does.
Like the always.
All right, this slide's a bit busy, given the number of race, ethnicity, option, and variance. But as with the prior slides, all groups have improved. And our other CQI group of focus was Black African American. And you can see here in the last 12 years, this improved from 67% to 84%. There's still a little bit of inequity there. A little bit lower than the other groups, but it is trending in the right direction. And we use a statistical tool that tells us if the disparity is significantly significant. Back in 2010, back in 2018, back in 2020, there was a statistically significant disparity that is no longer the case. If you're interested in seeing that tool ever in the seminar, it was put together by the National Policy Center. Next up, we have viral suppression by age range. I'm limited by how areas reports out. Decades is the easiest way of reporting this. As a transgender man, the number of clients under 20 years old is still very small. There's no real use in reporting it. Is it an opportunity to share information? Something of interest here that I thought contracting is seeing the clients who are over 50 years old and comparing them to clients who are under 50 years old. And you can see the older groups do have higher rates of viral suppression. With that said, you can see here all of them have improved. Back in 2010, only one group was about 80%. And now in 2022, they all are about 80%, which is one at 78, which is the truth of everything true. And this is viral suppression. This is something that I thought you all would find interesting since the age range of clients going back a couple of years. So you can see back in 2010, 60% were under the age of 49, and 40% were over the age of 50. That's basically completely split. Reverse that, we're 63% over 50 and 37% under 49. And something else that I thought was interesting is this. Where back in 2010, 1 in 25 clients was voting against 5, and now it's 1 in 5. So with that said, HIV Health Services is going to give acknowledgement to the team I work with, Bill, Beth, leadership team, Nina, Maria, Laura, Andy. I wouldn't be able to do any of this without their support and assistance. And with that, I'll open it up to thank you, and any questions or feedback?
I'm going to compliment you on your graphics. You're really good at that.
Steve Mark? Yes, we like the graphics.
Plus, some of them were effective.
Thank you. But each long round of the.
I believe that.
Okay, more on this question.
I think it was magic online. You can't hear it, guys. For the housing status, do you know what percent are under the cover?
It's very small.
Okay.
I'll get the end for you. The reason why it jumped so much in 2012 is because the end is so low that even a small adjustment to that caused quite a bit of percentage. It's not very, very high. None of the issues we have there with housing status, how up to date is the data coming out of areas and only the data coming into areas. So the case management team, outreach workers, intake workers aren't updating housing status, and we don't really know.
Yeah. And is this generally sort of housing status in the last year, last month, or 3 months?
Last time we were there.
Okay.
Now I do pull a report from Kevin that is far more reliable, and I can email that to you if you'd like to see it. Now it's only the clients who are in Africa, but that gets updated every time they go to see their medical provider or their supplier. So I can share that with you. We pull that up. But for this purpose, I wanted to keep the data system the same and consistent throughout.
Totally, yeah, and that really makes sense. I just wasn't sure if the unknown was a large challenge for a small and small excellent upgrade. And I like really appreciate you. I think like in terms of visual presentation, yeah, instead of using the 0 to 100% scale, you would just use like, you know, 50 to 100. It might have been for some of these, especially at the rate of this being that online.
Gosh.
It might just enable us to just
distinguish. No, I used to be that. Nope.
I mean,
Okay, so we are before we circle break, we're running early. I am going to ask Mark to actually talk to us about the nomination for council this year.
All right, and I'll pass it over to David in a moment to explain this formal advice as well. David is the council, as you all may have heard, which means that we have an open chair. We can't vote on the seat first because it's leadership of the council. It has to be voted publicly 30 days before the actual vote. However, that doesn't mean that we can't open the nominations. So, if you all recall from our original bylaws, our council co-chairs do need to have certain attributes, and these attributes can be held. Multiple attributes can be held within one person. Those attributes are our government representative, chef, which is woman, a person who identifies as a woman, a person who is HIV positive, who uses care services, a person who can be positive or negative, who uses prevention, and a person who is a person of color. So keep that in mind, nominating others or self-nominating. That floor is now open for nominations to replace our outgoing senior co-chair, David Gonzalez. Anyone like to nominate another person or themselves for this position?
I would like to nominate JP.
Oh, first of all, is there a second to this nomination?
I'll second that.
Lee Joel seconds. JP, are you open to be nominated?
We can accept and think about it for now.
Absolutely. Any other nominations for this open position? Again, we have to make sure to point out that David is leading in this position as a person of color, which we do have a grandma already, but also as a person who uses HIV prevention services. So that would be something that JP does choose to remain nominated. That have to have that. Any other nominations? Okay, nominations remain open, and you can mail them in your shot. And now David will say a few words about the work.
Later's.
Come on.
No, I think. Kind of some kind of factors that you know, set it out. And also, you look at it tomorrow. I will be stepping down off the Interior Community Council. There being on the planning council over the past 2008, 2009, I'm not sure. So it came to that a hard decision for me, but if not goodbye, but I'm going to grad school. And so I'm hoping to do something medically based. In the meantime, I probably will be around for all kinds of stuff here and there. I promised myself that please do sort of impact the change in my apartment. So I'll still be doing something, just not at your level. It's okay. But yeah, thank you so much. Been a pleasure with you all, and you're all in good hands. So thank you.
Thank you, David, for all your work. When's the last meeting?
This one. Also, I have COVID. I have a cold, but I'm not.
So I think now are ready to go on range. So we can go on and wait. We should be back in 20 minutes. Thank you.
It sounds a little bit better when you talk right into the owl. Hi. If the sound, you can hear every third word, just FYI. So I don't think it's a bad thing because they just need to hear me, but I was not really able to hear any questions or words. It's just about every third word. Sometimes that happens when the mic is actually set for the laptop rather than the dynamic mic. So I don't know if that's the case this time, but as long as you can hear me, that's fine for my presentation later. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, spring funding. This is like the national line.
Thank you.
So we're just like for creating a lot of.
I don't know.
I'm going to I'm going to